Good morning. How's everybody doing? Good. Merry Christmas. We are officially kicking off Christmas here at Wellspring Church this morning. For those of you who don't know me, my name is April Colquitt. I'm the children's pastor here at Wellspring, and I also serve on our communications team. And I am always so excited when I get to kick off our Christmas series, and that's what we're doing today. So we're glad that you're with us. Doesn't it look beautiful up here? I know. TJ did this, and he did such a great job, and he had some help from some of our volunteers, and I think it looks gorgeous. And so we're glad that you're here. If you're a guest with us today, I think you picked a great day to be here. I don't know about you, but I am hoping, although I love Christmas, one of my favorite times of year, I'm really kind of hoping for a mild Christmas. We've had the yuckiest weekend. And I was so excited to wake up today because my weather app told me the sun was supposed to be out today. And I was very disappointed when it wasn't. I personally, this is going to hurt some of your feelings, but I personally am not dreaming of a white Christmas. I myself am more of a Mele Kaliki Micah kind of girl. I don't know if I'm saying that right. Either way, Bing makes it into the playlist. So I just need sunshine in my life. And so my version of Christmas includes blue sky and sun. I can do the cold, but as long as the sun is out, I'm okay. I'm just one of those people that I need the sun to motivate me. When it's like it has been the last few days, I'm just so blah, like not motivated, don't want to get out of bed, don't want to get out from under a blanket. I need sunshine in my life. And so I know that some of you are probably like that. You moved here to Myrtle Beach for sun and milder weather. And so you share the same feelings that I do. We love it here and we're blessed to live in a climate where we mostly get mild weather. But for me, this is not just a personal thing. I mean, sunlight is necessary for our lives, right? We need sunlight. Our bodies need it. Our earth needs it. We wouldn't be here right now if it weren't for light. The very first thing that God created was sunlight. He said, "Let there be light." And then everything else revolved around that. In the book of Genesis, in the very beginning, this is what God says. He said, God set them, meaning the sun and the moon and the stars, in the vault of the sky to give light on the earth, to govern the day and the night, and to separate light from darkness. And God saw that it was what? Good. Light is good. And according to the writer of Genesis, God gave us light to govern our lives. Everything else he created pretty much revolves around sunlight. Our climate, our seasons, even the way that we see colors, the vegetation, the energy needed to grow and sustain life depends on the sunlight to make it possible. And for us, the sun and the moon govern the way that we order our days. I mean, when the sun comes up in the morning, it signals us to wake up, begin our daytime activities of going to work and going to school and doing all of those things. And then when the sun begins to set, it's an indicator we're going into our nighttime rhythms. So we depend on the sun to order and bring steps to our day, to help us know what to do next, right? And how to manage our time. Even light doesn't just illuminate our lives. It doesn't just illuminate darkness. It makes everything better. Like, if you can't find something in that weird crack between the driver's seat and the console, you get out a flashlight on your phone, helps you find it. If you have a bad dream, doesn't it help if you turn the lights on? Don't you feel better if you can check the room and make sure there's no monsters under your bed or hiding in your closet? Light makes everything better. And around this time of year, we're all about light. And we are so dependent on light that we would all agree in this room that we rely on light. We rely on it. We need it. And I always start thinking about this around Christmas because we see light everywhere. Light is kind of a theme of Christmas, isn't it? There's Christmas tree lightings and light shows and Night of a Thousand Candles. And we drive through our neighborhoods and there's light everywhere. It's a major theme of Christmas. What would Christmas be if we didn't have lights to decorate our homes and our trees and all the things. But because of that, around this time of year, around Christmas, maybe more than any other time of year, we start seeing this statement and hearing this everywhere. Jesus is the light of the world. And we see it so much on like ornaments and Christmas cards and gift wrapping and everything that I think our brains have started to just associate this statement with Christmas. I mean, when you saw that our Christmas series was called Light of the World, it probably made perfect sense in your mind because we hear that and we kind of go, oh yeah, Christmas. And I think because we are so accustomed to seeing this phrase at Christmas that maybe perhaps we miss the significance of this statement. Because what we're really saying when we say Jesus is the light of the world, we're saying Jesus is light. Jesus is light. And if we rely on light, if it is so imperative to our lives and giving us life, then what must it mean for our lives that Jesus is light? I want us to kind of sit with this morning, and this is what we're going to be thinking about for the next few minutes, because I believe that when we really understand the significance of this phrase, Jesus is light, Jesus is the light of the world, it can impact the way that we live our lives, not just at Christmas time, but every single season of the year, every moment of our days. It can impact the way that we live. All throughout Scripture, we see Jesus referred to as light. Old Testament, New Testament, it's everywhere. As early as the Old Testament, the prophet Isaiah, when he started prophesying that a Messiah would come, he called the Messiah a great light. He knew then a great light would shine in the dark. And then many of the apostles, Peter, Paul, James, all of them, they refer to the light of Jesus as a way that influences our lives and something that we reflect to the world around us. But John, one of Jesus' closest disciples, maybe talks about Jesus being the light more than anybody else. He said, Jesus was the light of all mankind. I would encourage you to go read John chapter 1. It's a beautiful, beautiful writing by John where he talks about the light that broke into the darkness. And he said, a great light, the light of all mankind. And I think maybe John talks about that more than anybody else because he was there when Jesus called himself the light of the world. And so I want to take us to that moment this morning. And if you have your Bibles and you want to follow along, we're going to be in the Gospel of John in chapter 8. When Jesus declared himself as the light of the world, he was teaching in the temple, which meant that his audience was pretty much made up of Pharisees, religious leaders, and people of the Jewish faith. And he stands up and he begins saying this. He said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Now, as soon as Jesus said this, the religious leaders in his audience started getting upset. And they started arguing back and challenging him. It says, the Pharisees challenged him. Here you are, appearing as your own witness. Your testimony is not valid, they said. They're getting really upset with Jesus. This would be like if someone in this room all of a sudden stood up in the middle of service and said, hey, everybody, I have the authority here. I'm in charge, and you should listen to everything that I say. We would have questions, wouldn't we? We would have a lot of questions, and we'd be saying, who is this person? Who sent them here? Who put you in charge? And that's kind of what's happening in the temple when Jesus begins to teach. And so the Pharisees want to know, well, who sent you here? Your testimony is not valid. Who's going to vouch for you? Who put you in charge? And so Jesus begins to explain, well, my Father is the witness to what I'm saying. And so they're like, well, great. Who's your Father? And he says, well, if you knew me, you would know who my Father is, but you clearly don't recognize me, so that must mean that you wouldn't recognize my Father either. And there's this sort of heated exchange going on. And then all of a sudden, at the end of this little part of John's story, he tells us a detail that he forgot to mention before. It's like all of a sudden he was like, oh, I forgot to tell y'all something. He tells us where Jesus was standing. Listen to what he says. He spoke these words while teaching in the temple courts near the place where the offerings were put. Now, to you and I, that doesn't mean very much. It's like, okay, and? But for them, this gave context to what Jesus was saying. Early readers of John's book would have understood that this is giving context to the words that Jesus just said. Because the temple was created in such a way that everything in it was very intentional. Everything in the temple, all of the decorations, the way that it was put together and constructed, everything had symbolism. And so when Jesus says, when it says that Jesus is standing where the offerings were put, that place, that space where he was standing, is surrounded by large candles that burned all the time. And those large candles symbolized the pillar of fire that had led the Israelites through the desert once they fled Egypt. Just a few weeks ago, Trey taught a series called Made for More. It's about Moses. Incredible series. Highly recommend you go listen to it if you weren't here. But he taught us about Moses, and we learned about the purpose that God had for Moses to lead the people of Israel out of slavery in Egypt and to a new home that God had prepared for them. He had promised them a new home that was going to be their own home, in a place of abundance. But they had no idea where it was. They're being led out of Egypt, not really knowing where they're going, but it didn't matter because God was leading them. Not by a GPS or Waze, but God was leading them by a pillar of fire at night and then a pillar of cloud in the sky in the daytime. And that pillar of fire and that pillar of cloud never left them. It was their guide all the way through the desert till they got to the promised land. It never left them, and it represented God's presence protecting them, providing and guiding them all the way. And so knowing that, imagine that Jesus stands up in the temple, and in my mind, he walks over to where those candles are. This is too far. I'm not going to walk all the way over there. But just imagine that he walks over to where those large candles are burning, and he gestures towards it, or maybe he puts his hand near it, and he says, I am the light of the world. It was a major statement. And the people in his audience, that Jewish audience, would have known exactly what he was referring to in saying that I am the light of the world. And whoever follows me will never walk in darkness. They will have the light of life. It was a significant and profound declaration that Jesus was making. He was basically saying, I am the pillar of fire. And if you follow me, everyone who follows me, not just the Jewish people, not just the Israelites, everyone who follows me will never have to wander in darkness anymore. See, Jesus is light. Is such a significant statement because Jesus was saying, I'm the pillar of fire. And as long as you're following me, I'm going to lead you to a new and better life. His presence doesn't just lead us to the promised land, to eternity in heaven. It does, but he's leading us here now in our everyday life, which means that you and I can rely on the light of Jesus to lead us every single day. We have his presence, and if we're following him, we can trust him. Relying means he's a trustworthy source for us to follow. And we don't have to wander around in darkness. We don't have to walk through the desert worried about where we're going as long as we're following Jesus. I don't know if any of you have ever walked around in the dark before. We don't probably do that a whole lot. We try not to walk around in the dark, right? But I once went on a field trip with a group of fifth graders, and Danielle's laughing because she was with me on this trip. And we went to the Barrier Islands, which is off the coast of Charleston. Some of you might have heard me tell this story before. It's a core memory in my life, so just let me tell it, okay? We went on this field trip, and all these fifth graders, and I think there was like 30 fifth graders in our group or something like that. And one of the activities, it was a three-day trip, by the way, if I forgot to say that, a three-day trip with 10-year-olds. And we stayed in cabins, and so we went there because they're studying the ecosystem of the low country. And so they're doing all these outdoor activities and things like that. And one of the things that they had them do was something called a night walk. What they did was they took us out into a field at about 9 o'clock at night, and it was January, so it was really good and dark and also very cold. And we went out into this field, and they said, turn off your flashlights. I think they might have collected our flashlights even. Not even the guide had a flashlight. And they said, we're going to go walk through those woods over there. Whose brilliant idea was this? I feel like it was probably like a grad student in marine biology or something that didn't know anything about 10-year-olds. And we go through this walk in the woods, and the point was for them to learn how animals navigate in the dark. And so they said, there's no talking, no light, and no talking. Fifth graders. If you have never experienced this, I can tell you a little bit about it. And what I will tell you is it's not quiet. There's a lot of whimpering and a lot of giggling and quite a bit of complaining. And some fifth graders are still afraid of the dark. And they have very active imaginations about what might be lurking in the dark. Bears, coyotes, monsters. They're talking about it the whole time. And those who aren't are the boys, especially, pulling pranks and making potty noises. That is what a night walk is like with fifth graders. And the whole time, I just kept thinking, who thought of this? And can we just please go back to our warm beds? It was exhausting. And I don't think we learned anything about how animals navigate at night. But what I learned and what I was thinking the whole time was, this must be what it's like to walk around in the dark. This is what Jesus meant when he said, if you follow me, you will never have to walk in darkness, but you'll have the light of life. See, when Jesus says darkness, this word that's translated for us here, darkness, is talking about spiritual darkness, void of peace, hopeless, despair. That's chaos. It's exhausting. It's tiresome. It's chaotic. I want you to think about a time in your life. Maybe you've not had one, but most likely you have. Think about a time when you have felt despair, where you could not move forward, you couldn't go backwards because you didn't know what was going to happen next, and you were just kind of frozen. Or maybe there was a time when you just didn't know who to trust. There were all these different voices coming at you, and you weren't sure really who you should be listening to, whether it was about parenting or your finances or your career, whatever it is, you just felt lost. Or it could be a time when you were grieving and you could not see a way forward, how you were ever going to go on with life. There's lots of things that could cause us to feel that kind of hopelessness, but that's the spiritual darkness that Jesus was talking about when he said, if you follow me, you will not have to live with that darkness. You will not have to wander through a desert not knowing where you're going. Because as long as you're following me, I'm going to lead you. Jesus is a trustworthy source of light. That's why he came. And if we rely on him, we can trust him to lead us. His light will lead us. He is a trustworthy source of light. That does not mean that when we're following Jesus, we're not going to have difficulties. It doesn't mean that we're not going to experience pain. It doesn't mean we're not going to have to climb mountains or walk through valleys. We most certainly will. But when we do, We don't do it alone, and we don't do it with hopelessness and despair because we are following His light. He's guiding us and walking with us every step of the way. This past week, I was talking with one of my volunteers. She's been having a very difficult season. I mean, she's been in a hard season these last 6 weeks. And she had posted on her Facebook her experience and shared a little bit about it. And when I read it, I thought, well, that is the testimony of someone who was relying on the light of Jesus. And so I asked her permission to share with you a little bit of what she wrote. And this is what she says. First, she explains that she's been, it's just been like a whirlwind of ER and OR visits and living with significant discomfort, she said. And she explained that in spite of all of that discomfort and ER and surgeries, she still had to go on with life. Like, responsibilities didn't stop. But she said there were none that she could do in her own strength. And then she writes this: God has truly carried me through. And although I have felt pretty miserable, He was there with me in my pain. I felt His presence in so many ways. Although a complete inconvenience and forced to slow down, God's timing has been perfect. Sometimes it takes really looking back and focusing on the little glimmers of sunshine along the way to realize just how much we have to be grateful for and to recognize that God is so present and so, so good. That is the testimony of someone, despite physical discomfort, despite walking through a hard season of life, was relying on the light of Jesus. And because of His light protecting, providing, guiding over that period of time, she was not hopeless or without despair. She was able to be grateful. That's what happens when we're relying on the light of Jesus. And her story, her bearing witness to the light, caused me to reflect back to a question that I wrote for myself a while ago. This is the question: am I relying on the light of Jesus to lead me? Am I relying on the light of Jesus to lead me? There are so many, 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 many influences out there, so many voices that we can turn to and listen to. I mean, everywhere you look on social media, somebody has advice for your life. Somebody has helpful tips that you need to be following. It could be about your parenting. It could be about your finances. It could be about your outfit. It could be about your marriage. It could be about your mental health. It could be about your career. Everybody wants a say in what you're doing and the choices that you're making. Have you noticed? I mean, everybody. You don't have to look far. And that's not to mention the people who are in your life who also want to have a say in what you do and where you go and how you spend your time. And so it's easy for us to get sidetracked and start looking elsewhere. And this is why this question is so important. And you can borrow it from me if you want to. Write it down and ask yourself, am I relying on the light of Jesus to lead me? Am I relying on His light? If you are newer to faith and you're just checking out this Jesus thing, I want to help you because it can be overwhelming to think, well, what does it actually mean to rely on Jesus? Like, I believe that He's the light of the world, or I think He might be the light of the world, and I see people who have His light, but I don't know how to rely on His light. And it's a great question and one that I want to help you with in a very practical way this morning. It's very simple. Two things that we can do to practically rely on the light of Jesus. Here they are: pray and read the Bible. It sounds so basic, but that's the answer, guys. Pray and read the Bible. We can't rely on Jesus if we're not doing these two things. because we will get sidetracked and influenced by everyone else who wants a say in our life. Pray and read the Bible. At Wellspring, we sometimes call this daily office. You might call it daily devotions or quiet time or whatever other language you have for that, but it's the regular practice of spending time talking to your Heavenly Father and reading His Word. And the great thing about daily office is there's no rules or regulations. You can do whatever works for you. You find a rhythm that works for your life, and you do that. But I would suggest one thing, that you get to a place and a time where you can be free of distractions, or at least very minimal distractions, so that as you sit down and you begin to praise God, show Him gratitude, talk to Him about what's on your mind, then you open up His Word. You're ready to hear from Him. One of the questions that people ask me all the time, maybe the most asked question that I personally get, is, what do you recommend for devotional books? Because when you sit down to do a daily office, hear me, you can just read the Bible. You can do that, and you can just read a chapter. You can read a few verses. I love to sometimes read Psalms, but sometimes a devotional book is helpful as a guide to help you know how to get started and to kind of show you where to go so that you don't sit down and just open up the Bible randomly and go, okay, God, what do you have for me today? You could do that, but I don't recommend it. I love, there's a book that someone gave me a year ago. A good friend of mine gifted me this book. It's called Day by Day by Grace, and it's 365 devotions. So I just finished this in November, and I'm starting it over because it's that good. It's so, so good. And what I love about it is you get to just read God's Word and see what He has for you personally. And so I would recommend this. There's going to be a link to it on our app if you want to get it. This, I will tell you, you need to go to the app and get the link because this is one of the few items on planet Earth right now that you cannot find on Amazon. They have a 90-day version, I think, on Amazon, but the 365, you cannot find unless you want to pay like $100 for it. It doesn't cost that much money. Just go to the link on the app. But however you want your daily office to look, it can look. But I can't think of a better way to rely on the light of Jesus than prayer and reading the Bible. Having a conversation with Jesus and then opening up His Word. Do you know the Bible is a living miracle, y'all? It is a living miracle. It is a historical, accurate document that we have that has been preserved and passed down and translated in a language that we can understand, and we get to hold it and open it up, and that is the number one way that we can know God, know Jesus, and know His plans for our life and what He wants for us. Way before we had our version of the Bible and all 66 books, people were recording scripture. They were writing down Holy Spirit-inspired words from God. And one of the psalmists writes this in Psalm 119. He says, "Your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a what? Light for my path." God's word is light for us. It is Holy Spirit-inspired word of God. And if we neglect to read it, we are missing out on so much light for our path in front of us. It is full of wisdom, full of encouragement, full of knowledge, and we get to open it up and understand what God wants for our life so that we don't have to wander around in the dark. He speaks to us through the light of His Word. It's a gift. And we cannot rely on the light of Jesus unless we are regularly returning to Him in relationship through prayer and reading the light of His Word. It's what we do. And so if you are new to faith, if you've not read much scripture, I want to just encourage you for a moment. Because I know that sometimes it can seem intimidating to open up the Bible and read it. But can I encourage you to not be afraid? Can I just encourage you to trust God's goodness in it? I believe what you'll find if you open it up, whether you're using a devotional book or however you want to do it, a Bible plan on YouVersion or whatever, God will meet you there. He will. And as you open it up and you begin to read, He will open up your mind to understand. He will give you insight and supernatural understanding of His word because He's that faithful and that good. And so the next time that you're just kind of like, I don't know what to do, try it, and I bet you'll find it to be helpful. Before we close today, I want to encourage you to spend some time today or this week marinating on that question that I shared with you. Am I relying on the light of Jesus to lead me? Imagine what would happen if instead of turning to a friend first or to social media first or to AI first, you just said, Jesus, how would you like to lead me in this circumstance? What do you want? What suggestions do you have? When we do that, He will illuminate the path in front of us and help us know where to go and what to do. And we will not have to walk in darkness. We will not have to walk with chaos and confusion and lack of clarity for our lives because He is a good and faithful guide. He is a pillar of fire that will never leave us. We will never walk through difficulty and deserts alone when we are relying on His light to lead us. My prayer for you this Christmas is that you will be encouraged by the hope and the light that only comes from Jesus. You know, the psalmist of Psalm 119, as he continues writing, he says, why would I go anywhere else? He said, I hate every other false way there is because only your word shows me truth. Only your word has the answers that I need. And that is true. It's been true in my life, and I believe it will be true for your life. Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful that you sent Jesus to be the light of our lives. Thank you that we don't have to wander in darkness. Thank you that we don't have to walk around in chaos and confusion and despair because we have you as a constant presence in our lives. God, I pray, oh Lord, it is my prayer that we would be desperate for your word of truth. As we open it up and we seek you and your way for our life, would you make it make sense? Would you give us understanding? Would you illuminate our hearts and our minds with the power of your word? Jesus, we love you. We thank you for your light. And it is our desire to follow you. In your name that we pray, amen.